But I just want to introduce my guest today. His name is Deviance, and he said just call him Brother Dev. And so I just said, hey, you know, since I really couldn't find a whole lot of information out online prior to this get together, I just said, hey, give me a little bit of information that I can share with the public beforehand, and then we can get into just a free-flowing conversation. I don't like to pre-plan my questions. I just like things to flow as they come. So, but before we do that, let me read off of here what he has given me to say about him. He is a mystic, falls in line with my personality, and so I'm gonna say that, well, which is what he said. A shamanic practitioner and a mystic. He's out on the West Coast. Not sure where, but we'll get into that when we actually have a conversation. He specializes in psychedelic integration coaching. Not really sure what that means. I can infer what it means, but I don't want to assume, so I'll let him talk about that when we get together. He is also into clairvoyant healing, which I'm curious to know what that is and why would you want to heal being a clairvoyant? And I'm sure I get that wrong. And he's also a psychic energy healer. So I am looking very forward to getting in touch with him and having a conversation and just seeing where this leads. And you know, if he's a person that you guys find of interest and you'd like to have him back on the show, I'm asking for more participation. I'm asking for more feedback this year. I don't want to just be complacent and just say, hey, you know, subscribe to my channel. I need your support. I need your help. And so, yeah. Please listen to more than just 5 minutes of my video. If you got the time, you know, you want to sit and listen while this is going to be more so me being on camera this season and this year. So, you know, I may still do a combination of just doing some audio podcast so that you can just listen and you don't have to actually stop what you're doing to participate or to, you know, listen. But if you do have some time and you want to get into some guests and you have the time to sit down and actually dedicate, you know, 45 minutes to an hour or 20 minutes to an hour, I won't put a time limit on it. As I said, I'm just going to go as spirit allows me to do it this year and as I have time and my guests have time. So without further ado, I'm going to cut this a little short at this point. You're like, damn, that wasn't short at all. But I just wanted to be as thorough and give an introduction to my friend as best I can. And I say friend loosely, to be honest, at this point. But hopefully he'll turn into one. I'm liking his energy and we'll see. But yeah, let me pause this. And the next person you see or the next voice you will see other than my other voice you will hear other than mine will be that of Deviance, a.k.a. Brother Dev. So stay tuned. There he is. He decided to jump on the screen. I appreciate you, brother.
Peace. Last minute stuff. Socks.
I see you. I love you. What's going on? I thought you was going to be audio only, but I love it.
Nah, I ain't going to leave you hanging like that. I ain't going to leave you hanging like that.
I appreciate you. Handsome brother, you better be out here trying to be seen. Let me see that left hand.
I'm just trying to match your vibe. The melanin popping, the skin all glowing. Come on now.
Let me see the left hand.
The left hand?
He might be interested. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to see if we can make it out there.
I'm on a journey. Self-discovery.
All right, well, we can jump right into it. I actually did a video before I started because I wasn't sure whether you were going to jump on here or not. Debbie, Brother Dev is in the house, in the room, in the building, and we are both meeting this brother for the first time, everybody. So welcome to the podcast, Radio Quirky. Yes, and yeah, tell us about yourself and why you chose to jump on my page. I'm honored for sure. But talk to me. How did you decide to do this? I know I asked the question if you would come on. So what about my spirit align with yours for you to say yes?
Appreciate it. First, thanks for having me. Yeah. So you know, on my own personal journey as an HSP, which you represent very well, I don't know. If, to be honest, I'm not sure if I was in a group and you was in a group, but I noticed you sent me a message And that's how you sent me a message about my, I was talking about psilocybin mushrooms. And you was like, yeah, I can relate. I had a very deep experience. You was like, we should talk. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do you one even better. I'll send you a message on your WhatsApp. I went and seen your journey and I seen some of your posts. I was like, okay, she really about that life. So let me go ahead and, you know, that's all I needed, because a lot of people still don't even know what an HSP is. And not only that, being able to fully step into it, especially me being a Black man and raised up in Richmond, California. So I was dealing with a lot of conditioning based on whatever a man is supposed to be. And so I had to fully embrace it. And then I'm really big in Carl Jung, and I really realized that a lot of the healing that I've been doing has caused me to, I wouldn't say I'm fully sensitive as like I used to be, like I'm sensitive as far as my intuition, but like my skin is a little tougher, and it needs to be because I work with people. So anybody who represents HSP, I'm down for. But if you look like me, it's like, it's kind of like a must to connect and represent, because a lot of people out there needs to understand what this is about, because a lot of people feel so, how can I say, freedom, being free and being free to express yourself is harder than it seems these days. And for a lot of people, if you're highly sensitive, then it can be even more challenging. Highly sensitive people, our challenges are not the same as other people's challenges.
Preach, brother, preach.
You know what I mean? So
listen,
when we're dealing with other people, and everybody's got an opinion, everybody's got a way to teach us, right? I know you've been it where you're trying to find your way and you're getting all this advice from people, but you're like, well, why is it so easy for them and it's not as easy for me? And it can make you feel like you're not adequate, you know, and you're not you're inadequate, basically. And when I learned about HSPs, it was like, no, nothing's wrong with you. You just have a certain way you learn. You have a certain way you operate. And if they're not catering to that, then it will be a constant uphill battle. So that's how we connected. But about me, you know, I was raised a Christian and I became a merchant seaman. And then I started my spiritual journey when I realized that making good money, you know, partying, living the best life, it just, something was missing. So I went soul searching. And in the process of me soul searching, I came across plant medicine such as ayahuasca. I'm huge on psilocybin mushrooms. I'm a cultivator as well. And I was looking for my purpose. I was like, well, I don't feel connected. What am I here to do? Like, what is my real purpose? I know what I do, but... And once I did my first ceremony, my heart opened, I healed, you know, I cried, I purged, and spirit came through really strong. It was like, well, this is your purpose. You're here to bring this medicine and this healing to people that are come from environments like you. And it was fun.
Was your journey, was it on mushrooms or was it on ayahuasca first? Was your first?
First, I want to say... I tried mushrooms first before I did ayahuasca, but the mushrooms that I tried, it wasn't like a healing experience. It was just like, oh, okay, I see what this is about, you know? Okay. And but the ayah was different. Like, it was no joke. It was like, this is serious. Like, this is nothing to play around with. So that was from ayah.
I haven't done ayahuasca. I've been trying to find a place to actually go that I can trust. I know someone who did go to Costa Rica last year. I think it was last year while I was still in California. And we talked about, we didn't go into depth and talk about it. But I haven't done it, but I am looking. I am definitely ready for that, for sure. Been ready.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it. I was fortunate to, there's a guy by the name of Zappo Didio, and he's located here in California.
I said, of course that's his name.
Exactly. Zappo Didio. And he I was like, yo, I'm looking for Aya. And of course he had some hippie friends, and he was like, yeah, I'll show you. And he took me, and the shaman, she was a lady, and she played like guitar, harp, she sung. That was my favorite part of the whole experience, was actually the music. Okay. But I was fortunate to know people that I could trust who could, because anybody who's interested in Aya, you definitely have to do your due diligence, because just like anything, just like a church, just like, you got some pastors who love you and some pastors who have other intentions. And some of these shamans may not necessarily have the best intentions, so you definitely want to be where you're trusted, so that way you're not being taken advantage of.
Makes sense. Absolutely. I know it can be deadly if you get the wrong batch or the wrong person. That's yeah, for sure.
And not only
And I
that,
ain't
for
trying
women, not to
to.
cut you off, some women go and they become, and some of these shamans and people that's helping the shamans start to take advantage of them in a non-consensual way. I know I've
You're right.
talked to women personally that's had these experiences, and it doesn't make me the part of me that don't like for people to be taken advantage of really comes out, and I wouldn't want that for anybody.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, that's wild that, and unfortunate that people take advantage of their gifts like that. But karma's real, and I'll leave it at
Exactly.
that. Yeah. Okay, well, we can keep going. Anything you want to share before even just from what you shared with me before we started, and I'm looking at what you're a mystic. Now, what does that mean to you to be a mystic exactly?
A mystic essentially is someone who is seeking their own personal experience with Source, with God. Outside
Okay,
of a
well, for me.
Bible, outside of religion, outside of dogma, I'm gonna figure it out for myself. And then you come
There
in
you go.
contact with that and you're like, oh, this is what it's about. And other mystics know that you can only really be a mystic because it's one of those things where if you know, you know. It's something that you can't put into words. It's something that you can feel, and it requires you to open your heart and receive it. Because, I believe there's more than one way to reach source, to reach God, right? You hear it in all these teachings. God is omnipotent, omnipresent. God is everything, everywhere, right? Well, if that's the case, well, why are you only teaching it in one way? And why are you not giving credit to all these other places and all these other people who've been on this planet years before you doing the work?
That's
So,
right.
with that being said, I study different religions, Hinduism. I'm really into shamanism. I study, mystic Christianity, mysticism, what's called Christian mysticism, Buddhism, Gnosticism, and mysticism. And with that, it gives me a broader understanding of, wait a minute. These people have been on this planet studying, trying to figure out source for a long time. And let's say you're my mom and you have a religion. And of course, you're going to teach me everything you know. And then I'm going to go out in the world and I'm like, hey, ma, but there's more to it. Now, you might be the mom and be like, nah, son, this is what it is. You stay here.
This
You
is
go.
right.
And I might be
Yeah.
like, nah, ma, I'm going to branch off and I'm going to start my own religion. And that's how a lot of religions start, not in that order, but they branch off from something else because we're constantly evolving. The world is too much information. You would have to die and come back so many times to figure all this out.
And we
So,
do.
we do ex exactly that part. We can get into that too. So, to me, that's what I, as a mystic, someone who's finding their own way, finding what their purpose is, and is not swayed by what society and what man has to say about what being spiritual is.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. Well, yeah, I guess I never thought about it. There's a lot of things that I just think and I don't necessarily I talk to different people, but when you said mystic, I didn't think about that as it pertains to me personally, but I probably have been a mystic, a long time. Well, I say a long time before I realized I was a mystic when I think back to my childhood and just going through the different, well, I won't say the different religions, but I wasn't raised to be a Christian. My dad, well, I want to say he wasn't having that, but he just was not one to go to church on a regular basis. He would go for, holidays and stuff. But then I remember seeing my dad when I was a teenager, and I remember sitting beside him in church, and the preacher's going on and on and on, and my dad just kind of is like, is it time to go? It's time to go.
I'm
And
hungry.
but we've always we've always had a good, you know, relationship where we talk about a lot of different stuff, relationships, religion, spirituality. And, you know, for a long time, I thought my dad was an atheist. My dad spent two tours in Korea. And as a young man, he went into the military at 17. And he was in Korea. I think he said he went, well, he went twice. So I think his first tour was, I think he was about 17 or 18. He was the highest ranking private at the time. So he had his own, well, they call them hooches, but he had his own, like, you know, places to sleep. And he didn't, of course, sleep in barracks or whatever. But however that setup was in Korea at the time. Mm-hmm. But I know when he came back, and I remember when we stayed in Denver, and when I would go visit him at his job, his office, he had these, and I don't think he has them. I haven't seen him in his house now. I'm gonna look around his house when I go the next time I go to his house. But he has these, he had like these tall, thin, these like not sculptures, but like masks. Not even really a mask. It's hard to explain what they were. It's like a picture, but it was made out of whatever they had over there. And it was like these Fu Manchus, like these Asian looking people. And he had Buddhas, because my brothers used to make fun of me because I would kiss the Buddha. He had this little Buddha figure in his office. And but my dad's way, you know, it's like my dad, I don't know. I didn't watch Star Wars, but I equate my dad to like Yoda. And that he doesn't really, he said to me, you know, later in life, I'm asking him questions about different things, and especially religion. Like, why didn't you guys, you know, you guys didn't tell us to believe a certain way? And my dad's response was, well, I left all these books around. You guys had all these books to read, you know, to make up your own decision. But I'm thinking, but you didn't tell us. You didn't say, hey, here's some books over here. Here's some books over here. You know, there's books on religion. There's books on physics. There's books on math. There's books on sexuality, which is how I learned how, you know, by the birds and the bees was not, it was a book. He handed me a book like I'm in school and was like, hey, you know, if you got any questions, you know, we can discuss it, but here you go. So, you know, I guess I should have understood that was the way, but it wasn't a conversation to say, hey, we're going to let you guys make up your own minds. You know, my dad, you know, I'm gonna provide all this information for you, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica at the time, whatever. But it's just there. So, you know, it was interesting to have a conversation in my 30s and be like, well, dad, you know, I thought you was an atheist for the longest. He's like, why would you think that? Now, I still don't really know what he thinks. He has kind of listed himself as an agnostic, which, you know, it works for him. And, you know, I've learned a lot just by talking to him. And you wouldn't think that he knows the Bible by looking at him. But yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover and just assume that people, you know, live a certain way because of what you think they should be or how you think they should be living. You know what I mean? I would say my dad's a very spiritual person, but from the outside, you know, most people would think, oh, he's going to hell. He's a heathen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you sat down with him, and I'm grateful that I've had the chance to know my dad the way that I do and know that, you know, he's living the word in ways that most Christians don't. You know, my dad has compassion. My dad is the first one to say, well, hey, you know, even though this is not what they doing, this is what you should do. And just do the right thing. I know they tripping right now, but, you know, give him a little grace. Now, he doesn't say it in that way, but the answer and the remedy and the message is pretty much the same. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't like labels. I consider myself a Christian for a long time. Just after looking around at a few things, I went on a journey. I was a Christian because, you know, growing up, that's what we did. We went to church, but it wasn't a religious thing. Like, you know, I had to go to church. If I wanted to go out on Saturday night, I went out on Saturday night. It didn't determine whether I had to go to church on Sundays, like a few people that I, you know, knew. But when I got older, well, I questioned for a long time. I questioned as a kid. And then I remember going to college And I don't know if you are familiar with in Atlanta, they had a set called the Nubian Islamic Hebrews. They changed the name, that changed the names a few times, but I'm not sure where their brother, but now at the time, the brother, it was Imam Issa or Dr. York, because he changed his name a few times.
Yeah, Dr. York.
And I would go to the community. He was right there on Edgewood Avenue. Actually how I started was I was working downtown and at the Hyatt, and these brothers were set up on the corner with oils and books and whatnot. And they had just loudspeakers. This is in the summertime. So they had the loudspeakers on the corner and they just pumping out Brother Imam Issa's, you know, his teachings. And there's incense and, you know, oils, and they sitting there with their stuff on. And I'm curious because I'm coming by because I'm trying to ask. I've been asking questions as a kid, from a kid. You know, well, why is this? I'm reading this in the Bible and it says this, but this ain't making sense. And I'm asking pastors and preachers, and they're just kind of like, oh, you so sweet, you know, pat me on the head. And I'm like, yeah, but I really want to know. Thank you for that. But I really want to know. And I never really seemed to get an answer from the preachers that I asked, the Christian people, you know, that I would go to and ask these questions. And so I remember just stopping, and I didn't have anything necessarily written down because I'd been, you know, keeping it inside and just curious about a lot of stuff. So I'm asking the brothers, I remember, and he caught me one day and I'm like, okay, well, explain this. Okay. And he explained something else. He's like, well, you might want to come into the community and start taking some classes. So it led to that, and it led to me taking my Shahada at 19 and studying that for a while. But I was going to college. I was in Memphis State at the time, but I was home for the summer and, you know, stopped eating pork. And, you know, my parents were born and raised in North Carolina, so the not eating the swine was like, what? You ain't eating no pork chops no more? Mm-hmm. you ain't eating no ribs, no bacon? For real? So, yeah, my mom, she was still kind of like, well, you, okay, we still eating the swine over here. I don't know what you going to do for breakfast, but this is what we doing. And, but it was interesting enough. I learned a lot. But I guess because I still was in college, and I actually had a letter. I actually wrote Imam Issa a letter. And because I was asking, like, okay, I'm seeing the community. I see the brothers over here on one side, and the women are with the kids over here, and you got all these rules. And again, I wasn't raised with rules, so I'm like, well, okay, I'm looking at my life and my aspirations of being an architect and having the husband and the picket fence and the 2.5 kids. And wait a minute, you telling me I gotta forget all that and give away my stuff and move in here and take care of these community of kids. It's not my kids, and take on a husband. And wait a minute, but we don't sleep together, but huh? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wrote a letter because the brothers was like, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, you have to come into the community system and live full time. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. So I wrote a letter to Imam Issa, and he wrote it. Well, Dr. York, whichever he was at the time. And by the time he wrote me back, but yeah, he wrote me back and was kind of like, well, okay, you stay in school until you finish. But, you know, basically you bring that knowledge into the community. And yeah, eventually I got away from that altogether. I think there was a few things that kind of bothered me even in regards to Islam. Is I read Message to the Black Man, and I don't know if you've read that book, but it's got... And I'll say for me, my experience of reading Message to the Black Man was, it had a lot of different things. It was like, okay, I'm reading chapter one, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is saying this and this and this. And then you turn the page, and before you get to the end of chapter one, he's saying something else. This is my interpretation. So I don't want nobody coming for me from the nation or anything. But you read it for yourself, and then you'll make your own opinion. But it just was like so many contradictory things that just had me kind of questioning the longer I stayed in. For me, there was a lot of things that I can appreciate and still appreciate about Islam. But eventually, to make a long story short, I just decided at a point that, you know, I don't want to have any labels associated with myself. I'm just going to, I guess that's when the understanding of being a mystic, although I didn't know I was one, was like, yeah, I don't want to have this feeling of, because I was tormented for a minute when I saw, but actually I got one of my friends who actually started going to class with me, and she embraced it. I mean, her daughters, which are grown now, they became, you know, Muslim, and she was teaching them Arabic, and they're Black. Basically, she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and then she started coming to class with me, and it was like, okay, this makes sense, and got into the lifestyle heavy. And, you know, I don't know to what extent she's still in it, but she was in it. I mean, had started wearing the garb, and, you know, I'm saying whatever time of day it was, wherever we are, hey, I got my mat. It's time to pray. It's time to make a lot. I'm going to Juma. What you doing?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You know, not that I wasn't, you know, hanging out or doing anything, but it was just, I don't know, it's the ebb and flow of, well, yeah, but okay, but it still is not feeling quite right for me all the way. Christianity didn't feel all the way right for me. And, you know, for me to say, and interestingly enough, I was at LAX and I remember saying out loud in the break room one day that I wasn't a Christian. And I knew what I was doing because there was a whole bunch of us in there. And I just was like, I know they're going to be like, blasphemy, you know? No, you didn't just say, or stop alive.
In the name of Jesus.
Right. Are you sure? So what do you believe? So you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross? I'm just saying, I do not consider myself a Christian, whatever that means to you. Why are you getting all in my, why are you getting upset? You know, I'm not telling you what to believe. It was just interesting. So yeah, the freedom of, all the way around, and I know I cut you off but like I said, this is the flow that we're going in. But I wanted to bring that back to what you were saying about having the I guess the balls to just live your life on your terms. When you said that about being an HSP, and for me, I am who I am. I move the way that I move, and have always done that, but not without that. But I wonder what people think. But I wonder who's going to be upset, you know, if I do this. I'm going to do it anyway, you know.
Right.
But to have that now, that internal, fuck him. I mean, you know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I don't know if you see my shirt I got on my head. I'll stand up and show it. It's my new brand.
Okay. Let them know.
You know, so it's taken a while, and I can't say I'm 100% cured of being, as people have called me, a people pleaser and too nice of an individual. I don't like that term. I don't think you can be too nice, but I guess I kind of get the concept. Yeah, this is a journey, and I'm glad to. It's interesting as I understand myself, and I'm glad that you said, learning about yourself. And I want to ask you, how long, when did you realize you were highly sensitive? Carl Jung, I learned about him again through my dad. So I've known that I was an INFJ. I went to see my dad in Texas summer before my senior year in high school. And my dad set me down with this book, Carl Jung book. And it's in his actually library. I'll take a picture and send it to you. Go over there and visit him. But he was like, hey, sit down here. I want you to take this test. I was like, what is this? He was like, just sit down and take this test. So I sat down, took the test. I'm going to do a podcast with my dad, so it'll all make sense. He's a really cool dude. But I took it, and I've taken it over the years, and it's not really moved too much. But I'm an INFJ. So, you know, for those that don't know, maybe it's time for you to do some research. But I've known that about myself, but didn't necessarily know that I was a highly sensitive person or an empath. You know, I don't think that's an inference you can make automatically from, you know, especially at 17. It wasn't something that I went out searching. I think it was my dad just maybe trying to validate maybe something that he knew about me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, didn't share that with me. Right. Maybe it's because of the generation that he comes from. My dad's 81, so, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of conversation, and his mother passed away when he was 10. So, you know, I guess as I'm saying that, it makes sense why and how he, you know, communicates and moves the way he does. But But all of this stuff that you have here that I introduced you as psychedelic integration coaching, I'd like to get into doing something like that. I did have, as I shared with you, as you mentioned, my sessions or experiences with mushrooms. I trusted myself. I didn't really have anyone that I felt that I wanted in my space to experience that with me, or to try to usher me through whatever I was going to experience. Because I've been on this journey and been a loner for so long, I trust me. You know what I mean? I'm my own battle buddy, if you will. I know I know what I'm gonna do in certain situations. I know if I gotta do something, if I'm forced to make a decision with the quickness for survival, I trust me. If I'm working, even with the people that I work with at the airport at LAX, and there's so many people there, there's not too many people that I can say that I would trust my life with. And I worked with them for a long time. So with this being an integral part of my life, that experience, which was life-changing, as I said to you, for me, I still, when I think back to my coworkers there, yeah, I can't think of maybe one or two, but yeah, I still would take that journey by myself. Yeah, and I'm glad I did. The times that I did do it, it was a gradual understanding of dosage and different strains that I tried. And but yeah, when I say life altering, mind bending, but I know that and interestingly enough, I got so many questions about that, because I've been looking like how. And I don't want to spend like $20,000 for somebody to teach me how to be what I already know I could be for someone, as far as providing a safe space and you know, just being there. But to get people to trust you to be that safe space, I think that's probably more of a journey than offering yourself in that regard. So what talk to me. There's nothing like starting my day with a hot cup of tea in my favorite mug while working on Ray the Quirky HSP podcast. It's my little ritual. Fuel for deep thoughts, honest conversations, and let's be real, a few passionate rants. This mug isn't just a mug, it's a vibe. A reminder that HSPs, empaths, and introverts like us deserve a moment of warmth in a world that can feel a little too cold sometimes. Want to sip with me? Grab yours at noapollafuckinggs.com and let's keep those conversations flowing, one cozy sip at a time. Worked with them for a long time. So with this being an integral part of my life, that experience, which was life-changing, as I said to you, for me, I still, when I think back to my coworkers there, yeah, I can't think of maybe one or two. But yeah, I still would take that journey by myself. Yeah. And I'm glad I did the times that I did do it. It was a gradual understanding of dosage and different strains that I tried. And but yeah, when I say life altering, mind bending. But I know that interestingly enough, I got so many questions about that, because I've been looking like how, and I don't want to spend like $20,000 for somebody to teach me how to be what I already know I could be for someone, as far as providing a safe space and, you know, just being there but to get people to trust you. To be that safe space, I think that's probably more of a journey than offering yourself in that regard. So what talk to me. Shut up. I yield the floor.
So give me a second so I process everything, because you said a lot. You said a lot, and a part of me wanted to interrupt and say this, but I'm like, you know, let me.
Please do. No, anytime.
I'm the type of person where I need a notebook so I could just remind myself, you know, and I could just stay focused. But, okay. First of all, shout out to your dad, because I could tell just by the way he was fathering you, he was real old school. He's like, I'm going to give it to you. You have free will. If you're interested, it's right here. If you're not, then... And I love talking to older men because I have so many questions. And I was actually in North Carolina for a little while, and I went out there to do some healing work. And then I went to South Carolina, and I met this guy. Well, he's a brother of mine, and I talked to his father. He was like 90. And his father grew up in some very different times. I have 1,000 questions, and then I'll get to what we was talking about. But and I remember I was just asking him so many questions. And my buddy, he was like, damn, Dad, I didn't even know that about you. I love talking to older men because I really want to know. And you can tell when someone gets around them and who's intrigued, because your father seems like he ain't going to give you nothing unless he knows he is worthy of him telling you. So somebody like me would be all bushy-eyed and asking these questions, and they just get into like their stories, and you can hear them just going down memory lane, and you're hearing all these things. Mm-hmm. You too, I hear a lot of wisdom in you as well. So I just really wanted to give a shout out to your dad for how he raised you. And because when you talk about, because even though you're HSP, you know, I know you're some warrior in there too. You know,
I'm probably military, raised on military bases.
So you know, you were different HSP. You know,
well,
what I mean?
You saw it. You said you saw my
seen it. I was like, you can catch these hands. I was like, okay, I seen that in your face already. So you just proved it, like with the with the shirt. So, but yeah, you said a lot of good stuff. And with the, and I'm gonna get to the psychedelic with the Dr. York and with the Christian. It's not easy. You know, I deal with people, and when I do consultations with people, you know, they're having this awakening and they're starting to see the truth. But I see how much their life and their beliefs and their community has a stronghold on them, because they don't want to have to deal with the backlash of people looking at them crazy. And, you know, and it's a lot. It's a lot. And so people got one foot out here and one foot in. I was like that. I didn't just wake up and was like, I'm going to do it. I was still in church when I started to know the truth. I was still playing the drums. And it wasn't until I left for sure, became a merchant seaman, where I started getting it into, this is what really did it. Hidden Colors. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but once I seen that, it was a wrap.
It's more than one.
It's three, exactly. It was over. I was like, oh, because my awakening wasn't like it was like, you know, you become furious. You become something in you, the God in you starts to come out when you start to see all these lies, you know? So that's not the takeaway from Christianity as a whole, because it is a community. People do need a community. If you've been out selling drugs and prostituting, church is a good place for you. Okay. I'm not telling you to become woke, but I was raised in church. Okay. My grandmama, my granddaddy raised me. I was a church drummer. So it's not like I was just going every Sunday. That was pretty much my life. So my outlook on church was more like me really breaking out the box. So, and I'm into, Dr. York, you know, Dr. Valentine, Bobby Hemmett, you know, I was getting into the people who assisted me through my awakening. These people didn't hold back. So a lot of that was in me when I was dealing with people, you know what I mean? It brought another side out of me. I just became like a little warrior, you know, even though I'm sensitive, but it triggered something in me that I didn't know was in me. I didn't know it was okay to be that way until I seen other men who knew the truth show me. So when did I find out I was highly sensitive? And then I'll get into the psychedelics. I was always, but I didn't know it until I became aware of it. Once I started my awakening, and then I started understanding what it was, then I went into my childhood and was replaying all these moments. I was like, that was a sensitive moment. But I didn't have an outlet to express it because I was around people that wasn't okay to be sensitive, you know? So I had to play the role just to survival, you know? It was about survival for me. But when did I find out? I would say probably, you know, I would have these moments. So my sun sign, if you're into astrology, my sun sign is a Pisces, right? So there's a lot of water in there. Okay, Virgo grounding. Yeah, I'm very familiar. My moon is a Virgo. So
my opposite. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I've always been sensitive. I was raised as a single child with my grandfather. My grandfather, he was a deacon. There was no cussing in my house. There was no arguing in my house. It was just Jesus, you know? So I lived two different lives, you know, in church. So everything outside of church, I wanted to do. I wanted to smoke weed. I wanted to lose my virginity. I wanted to do all this stuff that my parents is trying to keep me from doing. And but as I got older and I went through my spiritual awakening and I understand, first of all, that it's so. No. I take that back. I was 21. I'm going to say I was 21 or 20 once I started to learn about astrology. And when they started to teach me about what a Pisces and the traits that I have, that was the first time I ever felt seen. I felt seen by, I remember I was in Home Depot. I was in line. And, you know, right when you about to go to cash register, they have these little, you know, books or whatever, magazines. And I read it. And I'm not too into them telling me how my week is going to go. But I am, I do love them telling me the traits that I have. Because no one told me. And that's when I felt like I got some power because I felt seen. I felt like I understood myself a lot better. And it was okay to have these sensitive traits that I had. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when I started my awakening working with plant medicine, I started to really work with my inner child. And when I worked with my inner child, it was a whole bunch of sensitivity and divine feminine energy coming in and nurturing me and helping me understand that, you know, all the parts of me that I have, I want to say, inherited just from conditioning in my environment. I didn't need that no more. You know, when you're raised in public schools and you're around people who just rough, it's about surviving. It's about, you know, you don't want to be a victim. After being a victim, you learn how not to be a victim. So you built this persona. Shout out to Carl Jung, right? You built this persona and this toughness. And now you got to walk around and look a certain way. Now your walk has to be a certain way. So now when they look at you, they'll think twice and not messing with you.
Right.
But as I healed, I realized I don't need that anymore. You know? Where I'm going, where my healing is trying to take me, I can't take that with me because these are false identities. So that's I want to say within the last 5 years, that's when I really understood how sensitive I really am. And it's okay to be that way.
Yeah.
Now, with the psychedelics.
Do you have any friends? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Forget. Did you have any, you know, friends that along the way, I guess, from your childhood that maybe saw you that way and just maybe never said anything or you know, because I have friends from a long time ago, but I don't know that they would have seen me as a highly sensitive person. I don't know that I was wearing any type of a mask. I probably was just very, I don't know. I have a friend I can ask that question to. She just hit me up. I told her, and I've known her since I was 6. So maybe that's somebody I should ask that question to. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's a good question. I would say not in the sense of what you're saying it. I did have certain people that was older who like could tell that I wasn't really about that life. So they'll kind of look out for me. But not as sensitive, because I still was trying to be as hard as I could be, whatever that was. And they was like, you ain't really hard like that. But, you know, you clearly need some assistance around, because I didn't have no older brothers. See, it's one thing to have older siblings that got your back. But when you out there by yourself, you have to learn how to survive. I can't start something that I can't finish. I learned very early that it's a lot of stuff I can't finish. So Then the part in these, and I'm talking about people older than me that had my back, but people my age, they was out just trying to, girls, women smoking weed. I was good at blending in. I was funny. I could talk smack here and there. But when it came down, because a lot of the people that I grew up with, they started getting into guns. They started what we call funking. So a lot of the people that I was with all the time, they were shooting at people and they were getting shot. So for me, I always felt like I had angels around me and I was grateful. And I always knew that my grandparents prayed every night and I knew that I was part of that prayer. So I didn't have anyone who seen me as sensitive. They see me as a square. They see me. I always wanted to do the fun stuff. I didn't want to go with y'all and fight. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to carry no gun. I didn't, and they knew that. As far as, and you had a question with the psychedelic. I forgot exactly
Oh,
what.
how do you, yeah, my question was, how do you get into being a trusted person or a safe place for people who are looking for that type of healing or, yeah.
I always been good at holding space because of my sensitivity,
Me too.
right? Because people, random people,
They
and
see you and you don't see you. I think
listen,
that's what it
yeah, they
is.
do. I've had some of the most randomest moments, and I, but after a while, I started to realize once I had my awakening, it was like, this is what you're here to do. So once I started sharing my story, I didn't think if I was trustworthy or not because when in my awakening, I just started being more of myself. I started embracing my sensitive side, and then when I started sharing my story and I started getting this transformational experience with psychedelics, I became like a Jehovah Witness for psychedelics. I'm telling everybody,
You need this
you
medicine.
need this, And then slowly for surely, I started holding space for people, my family and then friends. And then when I started a group online and then, just people started reaching out and they felt comfortable. And I guess it's in, spirit and who I was. As long as I was operating in my authenticity, their spirit, their soul was able to connect with that and they was able to trust me. And fortunately, each session that I've had, I've worked with women, I've worked with people of different races, and I'm glad that they were able to trust me because those there's a very vulnerable spaces to be in. You never know what people are going to do. You never know how a woman feels, and she's vulnerable. So there's been times when I'm holding space for people. I'm like, I'm so glad that I don't have this animal nature, these lower chakras that wants to come out and take advantage of people because it's a blessing. It's a real blessing to be in this position to do so. So that's I think that's what it is. My own story and showing up.
Yeah, so it's and when you say your family, was it hard for you as far as your family, to did you feel comfortable changing or once you realized who you are, was that an easy transition for your family as far as acceptance?
Well, I gotta be honest. When I say family, I'm not talking about my immediate.
I got you.
I'm talking about people who
Your
that was
family
us cousins
chose to
grew up, and the w
be.
ones who were like, I've been thinking about that, I'm like, well, I got you. As far as
Okay.
my family, I still don't even think they fully get it, they can try to, but the eye can't see what the mind doesn't understand. And they're dealing with whatever they're dealing with, and they know they can come to me if they want to, but I'm the type of person where you're either going to love talking to me or you're not, because I'm not going to pacify you, especially if you're my family, right? I'm going to give it to you raw and uncut. I'm going to become a mirror, right? And a lot of people just want somebody to pacify their point of view. If I see something, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I am here to let you know that I'm not going to just take in you not taking accountability for your part of it is really important. So to answer your question is, and it's bittersweet because I really wanted my family to see that. I wanted them to see that I'm here, I can help you. But part of my growth was realizing that I can't help people that don't want to be helped. And that was a tough lesson to learn.
Yeah, that's true. That happens. I got friends and I want you to keep going because I can interject and I can throw in my little two cents here and there. But something else that you said that I'm really curious about when I heard you say this, clairvoyant healing. And I don't know if you watched the video that I had on there when I was going across the bridge into Savannah. In my first time, the first time that I actually went into Savannah as an adult, and the experience that I had, I didn't see visually, but I could hear slaves. Not knowing anything about that area, you know, didn't know anything about that area. I had never been to Savannah, didn't know I was born in Savannah. Of course, you know history, but you could live right there in the state, you know, and I'd never been down there. And I guess I didn't think of, even though I may have heard it in U.S. history class about the march to, you know, Savannah and, you know, all this stuff that burned down Atlanta to get to Savannah. And then he realized, oh, it's so beautiful. I don't want to, I'm just going to give it to Abraham Lincoln, you know, all of that stuff. Okay. Yeah. But when I got there to have that in-body experience of hearing slaves and I mean, it was just like, I don't know how old you are, but there used to be this old show in this, I guess it was in the 70s or 80s. And then the guy that's on NCIS New Orleans, he was a young man and he could, I don't know, it wasn't called Jumper, but him and this dude, he would like solve things that happened in different places and he would just jump through time. And that's how I felt. I felt like I'm in my car, it's 1994, I'm driving across the Talmadge Bridge and everything goes dark on the other side of the bridge. Mm-hmm. Once you get into South Carolina, it's dark. And as soon as we turned onto 46, or off of 170, it was just not 170, but we turned off of the road to Savannah off of 17 onto 46. And I was back in the 1700s. You know, my sister was driving and all of a sudden I'm hearing slave mass. It was like I'm in a movie theater. And you know how the sound is, you can hear certain things is over here when you don't really hear anything.
Surround sound.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in surround sound in my car in 1994, and I'm hearing in this ear, I'm hearing the dogs, I'm hearing white slave owners holding dogs back, and in my right ear, I'm hearing, you know, the panting, and I've been running for the last 5 miles, I done ran through the ocean, or the marsh, and I'm trying to get it with the scent off my body in the water. And I'm trying to be down here, but somehow he found me anyway. And I don't know how close this man is to me, but I'm just hearing it. And I'm in my mind, I'm on a road. It's clearly paved, but I'm seeing in my mind dirt road, the road that I'm on. I'm looking over to my right, and it's after midnight that we're driving through here, and I can see the moon shining down on the marsh because it's high tide. You from California? I know out there they don't have tides, but on the East Coast, tide comes in and out. And when the tide is high, typically after midnight, the tide goes out about 6 or 7 o'clock if you're on the beach when people go out and walk. I learned all this, of course, from living down there. But at the time, I didn't know nothing about no tides. But I just remember looking over in the dark and just seeing these bulbous trees that they have down there. And just the water and the reflection off the water. And I'm just thinking like, what damn century am I in? And I remember saying in the car to my sister who was driving, she's 8 years younger. So I'm looking at her like, what, where are you taking me? and I don't know if she heard me. I didn't ask her again. I was in the moment realizing I didn't have any fear, but it was just, I was so fascinated of, I ain't never felt like this before. I've never had this experience. I don't know what's down here. And then all the stuff, you know, spending more time with my mother and that side of the family to learn and understand the gifts and the abilities that they have down there. So what I say all that, we can get into that, you know, as many episodes as you want to come back. But the clairvoyant healing, what exactly does that mean? Because I'm like, do I need a healing? I can't predict when I'm going to have these episodes or things that happen to me. I saw Whitney Houston's death visually in my mind 2 weeks before they said what happened. As soon as they mentioned the day after she died, as soon as they mentioned that she died on the news, I saw a vision. And the vision that I saw was just this, flailing. You know, 2 weeks later, she died in the room, in the bathtub. She couldn't get out because she was whatever she was had ingested, but she couldn't get out of the water because for whatever reason, she couldn't, and she couldn't get her footing, and she drowned. So this is what I remember just seeing in my dream or in my vision. I wasn't asleep. I'm standing on my feet. I was doing something in my home. And it was just Whitney Houston's died. And it's like, what? And nobody was there with me when I had this. And then 2 weeks later, I don't know if I was with anybody when they actually said what happened to her. And I was like, wow. But it wasn't anything. It's not something that I can predict when I'm going to have these experiences, if I can say. And I haven't had one. I've had a few since that time, but nothing in the last. Nothing happened to me when I was in California, I have to say. So yeah, it's been probably about 10 years since I've had an experience. But yeah, clairvoyant healing, what is that?
Let me process all this. Let me process it. A lot of good stuff. So first of all, you know, there's a lot of talk about what really happened with Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you said wailing, right? I mean, she's taking a bath. She ain't in the ocean. She's taking a bath. I'm pretty sure she took 1,000 baths before that one. So I'm gonna just leave that at that. Okay. Right. So first of all, your experience in the car. Mm-hmm. You said you heard. You said you seen. Did you also mm-hmm. feel?
No, I can't say I didn't feel anything. It was just very, very, the audio was just as real as me and you talking.
I'm with you. So clairvoyant is clear seeing, right? That's clairvoyance. If you can see stuff, if you seen that what happened with Whitney and it happened, that's clairvoyance. Okay. Clear seeing. Clairaudience is a thing too. It's clear hearing. So clairaudience is for people that hear stuff. I asked you if you felt anything because there's clairsentience. Clairsentience is people that feel stuff. And
I didn't feel anything.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, normally people might experience one, but you experienced two. You experienced clairaudience. If you heard it, if you hear stuff that normal people can't hear, that's a psychic ability. That's clair audience. And if you can see stuff that people can't see, that's clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is using spiritual tools and meditations to heal.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, I don't know, and I told my dad when I had this experience, I shared it with my father, and his first thing that he did... Gotta love my dad. First thing that he did was he sent me this link. He didn't say anything creepy. I was like, what do you think about that? And he was like, well, you know, he didn't share his opinion with me, but he gave me this link. He sent me this link on, and I'm trying to connect my phone because it's looking like it's, I got two ports in here. So my microphone is connected to my phone. But anyway, but he sent me this link on, I guess, this predictability of this has been a while. This has been probably about 15 years ago. But he sent me to this website, and the website was like there's 5 cards and they're turned over. And I might not be doing this justice, but just from what I remember. And then so underneath one of these cards is a yellow heart. So concentrate and look at these cards and press, A, B, C, D when you feel like you know which one it is. I don't know what that was supposed to do because I failed miserably. I mean, some of them I got right, but I think that's just the odds of choosing. But but I was like, well, at least he's supportive. He didn't say it was wooky or crazy or anything like that. But yeah, I didn't get the point of it. I didn't see for myself how that correlated with the experience that I had. But yeah, there I go, still in the show again.
I'm
Let's.
sorry, I am. Sharing is caring. Your dad is a real gem. Just hearing these stories, and he
Yeah.
already got, it's like anything you say, oh, I got something for that. Hey, what do you think about this? Right? I think that's the kind of dad I would be. Like, I would be so intrigued on knowing what my kids are into just to support that. You know what I mean? So your dad knows something. He's very wise. I would consider him a mystic. He's very into mysticism and esotericism because he knows a little bit about everything, it seems like. It's
He
just, it
does.
seems like it's nothing he doesn't know nothing. And if he didn't know, he'd
I
be
mean,
like,
and even if
he
he
gonna
didn't, he
figure it
wouldn't
out.
tell you
He
this.
exactly. I don't know, but let me look
He's
into
not gonna tell you that he don't know. He's gonna make up something.
that. Right.
Out to my daddy.
Or, shout out to pops, because that's big. That's a big deal, like to have that type of support. Because what I've learned is, because I lost my parents a long time ago, but as I came to certain points in my life, I realized, depending on the relationship you have with your dad or your mom, they could support you as you grow. Like, it doesn't matter if you're 21 or 31, as you go through life and you go through stuff, I think if a parent has gone through enough and experience, they're constantly growing and evolving, that puts them in better position to help you grow and evolve, So,
Yeah.
yeah,
And I'm listening.
clairvoyance is that, it's clear seeing, If clairvoyant is a psychic ability, everybody has the ability to be psychic. It's just most people are afraid of it because most people say it's the devil. But clairvoyance is
Yeah.
clear seeing. Clairaudience is clear hearing. You had a psychic episode, which is a beautiful thing because some people would have been afraid. I know people, right? I just talked to a lady yesterday, and she asked God to cut off her psychic abilities,
Wow.
because people do that. They see stuff, they hear stuff, and they get scared, and they like, God, I don't want this, and God takes it away. And then they get to a
Yeah.
point where like, oh God, I want it again. Now I don't know how to help you with that. I don't know, but
Yeah.
that's between you and God. But that it happens, and I think this conversation is so important because we're all born with certain abilities. And the thing about religion is that it cuts people off from their natural abilities, giving them the impression that it is of the devil, So yeah, like you had a clairvoyant, clairaudient experience in that car.
I'm aware I had that, but I guess it's just my question is, and it may be rhetorical, nothing of course that you may be able to answer. It just like why then? Like, okay, I'm trying to think. Anything happened to me before? No. I mean, at this time I'm like 20, I was 23. And then the next time that I had a situation was, I think that was with the Whitney, and that was in, well, I was 30, so it was like maybe 10 years later. And then not too long after that, I think within that same year, it was definitely in that same year. But I know that I was on this, I was seeking a lot, and I had the time. Away from work, away from distractions, to be able to dedicate. And I was going to church too. At the time, I was a Christian, had gone back into going to church. I was a member. Well, I guess on paper, I'm still a member of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Lithonia, where senior pastor was Bishop Eddie Long, now deceased. But
Daddy
that
Longstroke,
whole
Eddie Longstroke, that's what they call him, right? Is that the same guy? Eddie Long, they
Yeah,
used to call him Eddie
there's a lot going on,
Longstroke.
but
Okay.
yeah, peace be unto his soul. But yeah, I was there during that time, and But yeah, I had an experience down there where I was cleaning out my car, and I was in South Carolina. But let me say this. This was me having that first experience was when I just went down there to visit. And when I eventually moved there, I lived down there from like 96. The first incident happened in 93. And I moved there right after the Olympics. So 96 until off and on. I mean, I lived down there off and on since then.
Mm-hmm.
And really actually just found out I paid for a membership on Ancestry to further my documentation of my family tree. Mm-hmm. And find some people. And just in the last week, I mean, I found, you know, aunts and great, great grandparents that were born on slave plantation. Well, I knew that they were born on slave plantation, but to actually see their birth certificates that says Mackey Plantation and Fennel Hill Plantation. My mother was born on a plantation and my grandmother. And, but yeah, to see that my family line is just all through that area where I lived. But during the time that I lived there, I didn't have any of those. Once I left and went down there and drove across the bridge for the first time, that was like my indoctrination, I guess, my introduction into, you know, Savannah. And then living there, each time that I would cross that bridge, I never had that feeling again. Now, the next time that I had that audio, I was in Ridgeland. I don't know if you know how much you know about South Carolina down there, but it's not that far from the Talmadge Bridge, but it's on the other side near 95. And I'm just basically, I'm cleaning out my car in Ridgeland. Ridgeland is this small little country town where one of my cousins lived and my aunt's grandmother's sisters lived at one time. And I'm cleaning out my car. And I have my doors open, the music's on, and I'm right by this vacuum cleaner. And I have my back to my car. So this is me. My car's behind me. My door is open so I can reach into my car and clean it out. And this person, I won't even say person, an entity, come. If you were watching me, it would look like this. Hey, I got something to tell you. This is, let's say there's a person on my side. I literally stop what I'm doing to turn. So if you're watching me from, say, across the street or whatever, you're going to be like, who's she talking to? Because she's, you know, why she stop what she's doing? Ain't nobody out here but her. And I just literally kind of turned because I felt like it was this person on my right side specifically. And it was just like somebody going to come up here and somebody's going to approach you. Didn't say time frame. Didn't say somebody's going to say something to you in the next 5 minutes. Somebody's going to say something to you. And this is during the time that I'm going to church, but I'm not going to church, but I'm seeking. So I remember plain as day. I hear this voice. Hey, somebody's going to come and ask you, you know, who your people, because down there they say who for one you. I'm Geechee Gullah. But on that side. So the guy didn't say who for one you, but when the person, the entity, the spirit said to me, hey, somebody's going to come and ask you a question. It was like, to me, it was like the same, the way that I felt when I experienced mushrooms and the time where I told you, it was like I was suspended above the world and everything stopped and I was lucidly in it and I knew where I was, but I still also was outside of my body looking down on all of humanity. And I remember in my mind, it was like the way that I felt then was it's on. Like it was such a rush. Like I'm actually here. I know I'm in my van. I know I'm alive on the ground, but this shit is on. This is like, this is awesome, right? So this is the way that I felt when it was like, I had been asking. When I say I've been seeking, I've been like, okay, God, I want to be the best version of myself. I hadn't gotten into yoga. I had tried meditation, but just my spirit was open. And it was like, okay, whenever it happens, whoever, however it comes. And so when I felt this, had this feeling or this conversation that I could not see this person, it was the same kind of feeling that I'm explaining where it was like, okay, I got an assignment, or for the lack of a better way to explain it, it was like, okay, I hear it. I'm ready. With this is, it's like boot camp. Hey, get your ass up. You know, this is, I don't know when I'm going to get that call to get up. This is what's that. Uh-huh. And so it was like, okay, I'm alert. I don't know when it's going to happen, but cool. So I went back to doing whatever I was doing, and I felt a presence. Now, like I said, it's the day. Nobody's out there with me. Cars are going by, but it's a sleepy town. And from the time that I have this warning, about 5 minutes later, I feel this presence. There's nobody out here. I don't see anybody stop around me this way, but I feel like somebody's staring at me. And I turn around and I look over the top part of my car, and there's a man in the car right beside my car. And so I look, he's staring at me, but he's not saying anything. So I was like, this is weird, but I'm still thinking. I hadn't forgot about what just happened, but I didn't know what this was. I didn't know that it was, correlate. So as soon as I turned the music down and I said, excuse me, I said, did you say something? And the guy's still staring at me, and he goes, who are your people? What's your last name? Now, I'm adopted. So even though I have family there, I could say the family name, but when I said, sir, I said, I was adopted, so you wouldn't know me by my name. And so he asked me something else, and I said, well, do you know, and I named one of my, one of my cousins or something. I said, do you know them? He was like, something he said, and I was, but it wasn't, he wasn't satisfied. So I'm still trying to figure out I'm thinking back to the 5 minutes, and like, it's interesting that this man just walked up, uh-huh, asked me who my people were, and somebody told me that he was going to ask me who my people were. So, but it really ended up being a joke. So as he's asking me all these questions, I kind of look over it like that. And on the hill that the guy came down was my uncle, well, my aunt's husband. And so when I saw him, I was like, oh, I said, I know why you asked me that. He goes, why? I said, as soon as my uncle saw me, he comes down the hill. That was his buddy. And they were just playing. He was like, he saw me. He was like, hey, go down there and ask my niece, blah, 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 blah. So it was all meant in jest, but it was just the fact that I knew they were coming. You know what I mean? It was wild. So, but yeah, I haven't had any types of those types. That was the last time I had that type of experience where I heard. So that's the clairaudient. But it's not predictable. I mean, I don't know.
Not to cut you. That was in when? Georgia. That was in Georgia, correct?
That was in South Carolina. That wasn't far from the first incident, but it was, I'd say, from Savannah.
That was
to
your
where
region of your ancestors. That was your ancestral, yes, region. Gotcha.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. All up and through there.
I love how you ask questions and you answer it.
From where I had that, from that particular place to where my grandmother, my mom, and my relatives were born on the slave plantation, maybe 10, 15 minutes away. Not that far.
Okay, let me know when it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your
turn. Okay.
It's your turn, and while okay, you're doing that, I'm gonna plug my cord in, so I'm listening.
That was good. That was deep, because you asked me, I think the initial question was like, well, why did it happen then, right? And mm-hmm, you kept talking and kept talking, and you was like, well, I was seeking. And then you kept talking, and you was like, well, I was asking God. And I was like, okay, she's answering her own question. This is going to be easy. Okay. Because I had already had a general response for you, because I can't tell you why, right? All I could do was ask questions and try to put the pieces together. So first of all, it depends on your vibration, I think, right? It depends on the vibration and you being ready to receive it, because those are not experiences everybody is ready to handle.
Mm-hmm.
You clearly was ready for it, and you were asking. Yeah. So God did what God knew how to do. God, when you ask and you're ready, God showed up in a very mystical type of way, right?
Yeah.
And, I would say, because you said you had one foot in the church and you was out, so you were kind of like straddling the gate a little bit, right? You were in it, but you wasn't in it.
I wouldn't even say I was really in the church. I was going.
That's not in the church if you're going to church.
Not really. No, I wouldn't necessarily say that everybody that it's just like that, like they say, all closed eyes ain't sleep. Okay. I see what you mean, but
well, what I mean say, is you are going to church. When I say in church, not necessarily praising God and ushering and wearing white gloves and all that, praise dancing. Yeah. But you were in the pews. You was listening to the pastor.
I was.
You
yes,
was you giving was, offering? Was you giving some money? Was
No. And that's the thing is that I guess in my mind, when I say no, I mean, as far as tithes, giving an offering, maybe, yeah, it'll contribute a little something, something, but
well, let me ask you this.
I wasn't settled in my spirit to give a tithe. No, I
okay,
wasn't.
Okay, that's understandable. I've been through that too. Well, let me ask you this. Why were you in the church?
That's going to take another.
Okay, no, you don't have to go down that. I'm just asking these questions.
I'll start by saying this. I'll just say this. What made me join New Birth, I was away in Barcelona. Okay. I left. I wasn't planning on coming back to the States. I had packed all my stuff up. I had finished my 2-year scholarship program in South Carolina. I had planned, manifested everything that I needed to get myself to Barcelona. And this was I had a job and everything, but I just was not fulfilled. And I left and I couldn't stay. And while I was away, because I was living in South Carolina at the time, but while I was away, I just, again, seeking, and I'm in Barcelona, this is not working out, and I'm asking questions of God, and I end up having to come back to Atlanta. I get back to Atlanta, Wednesday night, they have a Bible study service. My mother is going there because she relocated from South Carolina back up to Atlanta. So I go to this service. And all of the questions that I have been asking God as I'm walking the streets in Barcelona and I'm between Barcelona and France and then France to Germany and then, you know, the route that it took for me to get back to the States and me still wanting to figure it out, how I was going to get to stay over there, make it work. And it seemed like all of the questions that I asked and had in my mind of like, why did I, but you got me all the way over here, God, but shit ain't working. And when I went to that Bible study that night, it was like Bishop Eddie Long was talking just to me out of that big ass church and all of the questions. And it was so, well, you thinking this and such, and you're doing such and such. And the sermon was for me that night, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I'm listening, I'm like, okay, well, maybe. Because I think literally one of his statements was, and you thought that you were doing this, but that's not what God had for you, but blah, blah, blah. And I was like, damn, is this where I'm supposed to be? So I joined the church. So I'm back in Atlanta at that point. Like I said, I moved back. I was relocating back and forth between South Carolina and Georgia, changing my driver's license every other year between Georgia and South Carolina. And but yeah, so to answer your question in a short way, yeah, I seeking, just still seeking, not really at that point in my life where it wasn't about me caring about whether people thought that I went to church or not, because I wasn't raised in it to have that responsibility. You know, not to say that it wasn't like, oh, I'm a heathen and I just don't want to go to church, but it wasn't something that was forced upon us to do. It was my decision to do it. But had I not done it, it wouldn't have been a big deal to my family. We didn't have that pressure on us, me and my brothers, but without having any structure, and this was after, you know, me, I guess, denouncing Islam and not really doing that anymore, still on my journey, my path of trying to figure out what fits, what makes sense. And, you know, because this was all around the time, like I said, I met my biological mother in 94. So this is the understanding of where I come from. What's in my family line? Is this something that I should embrace? Learning more and not really even learning anything necessarily from in depth from my family members. Just, oh, this is what happened to your aunt. And this, you know, some of the stories that I heard was like, what? That sounds a little creepy. You know, that how one of my grandmother's sisters died. It was like the way my aunts explained what happened and how they had to go to her house one night and how they found her. It was like one of the moral of the story was, so what was the moral of the story? You know, I'm still trying to understand, why did you tell me that? Still don't know why they told me that, other than to tell me, well, your mama used to go over there and do rituals with her. That was the end of the story. How that had to do anything with me, I don't know, other than them just telling me to say, well, you know, Aunt Mabel was into some stuff. And if you want to know what she was into, ask your mama, because she would go over there and do stuff. And so when I remember asking my mother, it was kind of, she never told me. She wouldn't give up the goods. She wouldn't tell me, well, this is why your Aunt Mabel called me over there and we did this ritual. She did say that. And I said, well, what did the ritual, what did it mean? I don't know. Which means you don't know. You know, how do you know you weren't conjuring up the devil or something? That was my mindset. Then I still don't know, because you can't do rituals that are, you know, not positive. I'll put it that way. There's good and bad things.
Dark and white. And yeah,
I guess. Yeah. And my mother was one that didn't question. I think she was, again, as a young person, finding her way. And, you know, not having been raised by her mother, like I said, my story is long and winding, but, you know, my mother, she was not raised with her mother, but she was raised around her mother's people. So I think maybe as a teenager or young adult wanting to fit in, she would do things, you know, this is after she had me. She had me at 18 and she gave me away. So in her late teens, in her 20s, once we met again, you know, she would tell me the things that she would do. And she took me to this person and, you know, had this reading done and was, and I'm like, how does these people, because I said, well, you take me to this person, but, and we hadn't known each other very long. And I said, well, she's going to have to tell me something that even you don't know. And when this woman told me some stuff, and I was thinking like, what in the world did I just find myself in as far as this family line? Yeah, pretty deep. My mom had a nail shop, and I hadn't known her. I don't think I knew her 30
before
days.
Before you get into the nail shop, I'm following. I'm with you. But I need you to understand something.
Wonderland. I'm with you. Let's take a whole hour.
I could. It's making sense to me. Okay. But when I ask you a question, that means I'm driving, right? And I want you to be in the passenger seat, because I actually didn't. You give me an answer to help me go where I'm going. But if if you take the steering wheel, then I might forget where I was going, right?
But what you are saying
is good, is valid. I'm not taking away from it. I mean, I'm learning more about you, and I'm learning more about your journey. So yes. I just don't want to feel constipated with what I was trying to say.
I hear you.
So
anytime we learn at each other.
Yeah, so we are. This is our first official conversation ever, right? So
I'm loving it. I hope you are.
I am. It's teaching me patience.
Look, I live alone, but
it's like,
wait, but I got your attention. What I got is attention.
Right, it's all good. I spend 90% of my time alone too. So we're gonna get back to your mom though, because that is important. That is important.
Okay.
But what I was saying is, if I can get back to it, when I said straddling the gate, I get it. You were just seeking. You were in the church, seeking, just trying to find your connection, trying to figure all this out, and you just so happened to be in the church at the time, right? And that goes to show, it doesn't matter. God can speak through anybody, regardless of their reputation, regardless of whatever. God can still use them. And we'll just leave it at that, because I forgot where I was trying to go. Okay. So where was I trying to go? I think what I was just saying, I was just trying to connect the dots of how.
Well, I was saying, well, I couldn't predict when I'd have those, because I've been always open, I feel, and willing to have any type of experience like that. But I guess to not have it, to have it 10 years later, have another one, not know when it's going to happen. You know, is it some type of way to hone it? If that makes sense.
Okay, I get it. I get what you're saying. So, yeah, things were just happening how it was happening. We really can't. A part of this journey is just being okay with not having it figured out, right? Because what it is breadcrumbs. It's breadcrumbs to see what you're going to do with that, right? So it's either going to make you more interested or it's going to be like, I don't want to deal with it. So when you're ready, like that's the only one you're ready for, that's when it happens. And if you're right, and it happened, right? Now let's get into your aunties, right? You were saying, I don't know why they would tell me about my mom and this and stuff. It's funny because you ask like, I don't know why. And then you get to talking and it becomes clear why they did it, right? I'm like,
it's clear to you because you on the outside.
Right. Like, I'm looking, I'm like, well, clearly it seems like they knew what they was doing. Because they knew you was seeking. Clearly they knew you. I think they knew you were seeking. And you, like you said, your mom hadn't been in your life. So anything they gave you is a part of your story, right? Because you're trying to put the pieces together. So on your mom's side, you come to her, you're asking her these questions, and, you know, she might be a little reluctant to share some of this stuff, right? Because who knows, you know, what she experienced, because there is light and dark magic, right? But I see some similarities with her and you, because you are a seeker too, and she, just like you're finding your way, she was trying to find her way. You know, and then you went to church with her. So that's where she ended up, right? In church with what she become, because most of us are familiar, you know, with church.
Well, she grew up in church. I had that same religious, well, I didn't, but she grew up, which is the reason
I'm
going
to take this mic from you because you like to take it. I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to take it. If I could mute you, I would. If I could mute your mic, I sure would. I can imagine. I can imagine she grew up just like I did, just like, you know. So I would consider your mama mystic. I would consider her a mystic, definitely. And, you know, all of these things are beautiful for you on your journey, right? Regardless of where you started, you still got a chance to end up where it started, regardless of how you started. Because you have to put in the effort. Because a lot of people just be the victim and they don't, you know, they're mad. But you, it seems to me that you were open. You had, and you wanted to know. You wanted answers. And that takes courage. It really takes courage because you may not get the answer that you're looking for. And that keeps people from actually searching, right? So I commend you on that. And a lot of people do end up back in church because there's more to it, right? Some people leave church because of the people that represents the church. Right. They see all this stuff that's happening. And they don't want nothing to do with it. They become victimized and they leave totality. That's doesn't take away from the goodness of the spirit that is involved with church. But when they go out and they learn more about just how dark stuff really is, they like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't that bad. Let me get back in church. But now they're more clear on the message and the type of people. That's why there's 1,000,003 churches. Can you pick one that works for you and that resonates with your spirit? So, you know, shout out to your mom, too, for her being a mystic. You got it. It's in your family. Your daddy's a mystic. Mom's a mystic. I mean, hey, clearly there's something here. All right. I'm giving that. This is where I give you the mic. Okay.
I'm here to listen. I'm saying it.
No. I got to hurry up and say what I got to say.
Say it all. You got the floor, brother. I promise. We can do this again at another time. I just wanted to share enough to give you context. That's like I said, we didn't propose it. Now, can you imagine questions? Come on now.
Oh yeah, no. You're right.
Still be on the phone asking each other. What you want to talk about?
Yeah, because you're gonna ask me a question. I'd be like, you know what? You know, this is what you're gonna take the mic from me, and I'm gonna be like, you know what? I'm going to just listen. Let me hold space for this sister. So, and see her. But the good thing is, the things that you are talking about, I am interested in. It's not like you're just talking some mumbo jumbo. Like, I'm always interested in people's journeys. I think that's the best because, you know, people get so fixated on the things that they learn from school. I want to know, what did you learn personally? I want to know, what has life taught you personally? That's what I'm intrigued in. So I love it. You know, we joke around and stuff. Damn, my light went off. One second. Interesting.
Where are you at? Where in California?
No, not the. So what happens is I have this, not the electricity light, but I have this, you know, those lights for social media and all that stuff. And the battery, I have it plugged into a power bank.
Okay.
And then the power bank, it drained the power bank. So here we go. That was interesting. Woo! Now we good.
Okay. Back out on. Yeah, I just plugged the power bank on and stuck it on the back of my phone.
So, we could talk. I'm just like that. I mean, to be honest with you, you remind me of me because when I'm into something, you know, I be wanting to say what I got to say because I don't want to forget it. I'm in the moment.
That's how we started. Because your title that you gave me was clairvoyant healing. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Clairvoyant healing is basically using your clairvoyance along with meditation tools and modalities to give your chakras, your aura, your spiritual body a healing.
Okay. I'm listening. I need some context. I need an example.
So, for example, your chakras, right? So, you know, you can heal your chakras physically, right? Certain colors, certain things, yoga, where eating certain foods, reds, greens, and all this stuff. But you can also clairvoyantly, by meditation, closing your eyes and visualizing your chakras and giving it a healing and working with earth energy and working with cosmic energy. So you'll imagine these energies healing your chakras, and then that's a example of clairvoyant healing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now do you guide others through doing that for themselves, or, and if so, how, or do you just do that for yourself?
I normally do it for people. So I'm actually in training now. I have maybe, I don't know, 6 more months till I graduate. And my mentor, he's teaching me the tools on how to do it myself. And then when I get my certificate, I could guide people to, I would prefer to teach people how to do it than for them to come for me to do it for them, right? Give a person a fish versus teaching them how to fish. So that would be my goal, to just guide people. I'm getting more into that. I can do it. I haven't really been just like pushing the issue because it's something that I've been learning to do kind of low key, building up my confidence and things like that, and learning, and because it's all about the pineal gland and it's work. But I'm into it. If someone came to me and said, "Could you teach me?" I would never like turn them down.
Okay. Well, I'm out of questions because I do want this. I want to know more about you in whatever way or however you want to share. Since I know you mentioned that you are different than you were succinctly. And since I don't know you before, do you feel like you're different in a better way, or and if so, if what about that would you like to share?
Absolutely.
All right, if you made it to the end of this video, I appreciate you staying focused and listening. Hopefully you found something enjoyable about the podcast interview with Brother Dev today. I know I did. I enjoy his energy. You can see the interaction between us was genuine and organic. I've only met this guy today, but I definitely want to have him back on. If you guys like what you've heard so far, please let me know in the comment section. Also, if you have not become a follower, please subscribe to my channel. It doesn't take but a moment just to hit that button so that you're notified anytime I upload anything. So I am just making some changes, making some improvements, hopefully, to the podcast. And if you've only just tapped in for a few minutes on each of my podcasts in the past, I just ask that you go back and listen a little longer. Spend a little time. I think some of my podcast episodes are about 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes. Some other ones are long. The second to the last one is actually someone interviewing me about my book. So if you want to take a listen to that one, that'll give you a little bit more foundation on who I am and why I chose to make this channel in the first place. So I also have a book out. I have a website, which is Ray the Quirky HSP, that has been moved. I did buy that URL recently. So I'm making some changes and some improvements to the brand. I am on TikTok, same name. I am under my I Am Theresa Ray on Instagram still, but I'm working to get that name changed. But you can find everything that you need that pertains to this quirky channel at RayTheQuirkyHSP.com. So I thank you again for your time. Please hit that like, share, and subscribe button. Share it with somebody that you feel would benefit. And until next time, I appreciate you.